Welcome to the Lady Up America podcast. I'm Diane Canada, your host. I am so glad you're here today. Thanks for tuning in. It is Tuesday. It's November 28th. Plenty to talk about in the news cycle today, so let's get right to it.
Founder of Lady Up America.
All right, I want to take a minute and celebrate some wins because we need some of those, don't we? We need some good news. We've had more hostages come home that were being held by Hamas. There were more women and children released, more families reunited, and so we want to celebrate that. It is a very bittersweet celebration because there's a 10-month-old baby that we thought was going to be coming home. And instead, he was simply handed over by Hamas into a different terror regime. So the psychological torture, the emotional torture that that family must be enduring right now, I can't even begin to know. But I want to just pause for a minute and remember that this is not just a news cycle. These are real families. These are real children, real hearts and minds that are going to be haunted for many, many years to come. But real people involved in this. So it's on our news cycle today, and it may not be there a year from now, but these people will have years and years to continue to process and heal from what they've gone through, and still so many to be released. So celebrating the wins today, but also knowing that these people are still in so much agony, and our hearts just go out to them. My heart goes out to them. So I just want to acknowledge them. I also want to talk about the idea today of redemption. As I was watching some of the Alex Murdaugh sentencing play out today, there were some things that really struck me about it. As you may remember, he comes from a long lineage of very prominent lawyers and I believe some judges in his family in the Carolinas, and he has been convicted of killing his wife and child. His son, and now he had to face the music to a lot of his victims today that he fraudulently stole from and kind of preyed upon in his law firm. But it wasn't so much him, his responses that struck me today. It was more the heart of the judge that really struck me. So I'd like to unpack this with you today in our clarity session. Around the idea of redemption, because I think that a lot of us could maybe extract some lessons from this today that might be helpful. So let's get some clarity. You know, when we look back over our history or stories from the Bible, God used very unlikely and often surprising people to accomplish his work in the world. We remember the story of Saul, who actually was a persecutor of Christians. He actually sought out, like hunted down and killed Christians. And then on the road to Damascus, had an encounter with Jesus and then turned out to be one of the strongest advocates, apostles for Christ. You know, we see, oh my gosh, there's so many stories in the Bible of people that were redeemed. Matthew, you know, back in those days, the most hated completely reviled people in that culture were tax collectors. They were seen as people who had kind of betrayed their own people, their own families and friends. They, you know, ended up really becoming oppressors, real oppressors in those communities. Not only would they collect taxes for Rome, but they would also bank a lot of the money themselves and enrich themselves off of their, you know, their friends and family. And so they were extremely hated. And Jesus called Matthew, who was a tax collector, to follow him. And Matthew did. And of course, as we know, when we read the book of Matthew, became a very devout follower of Jesus Christ. So I was thinking about yesterday's podcast when I was talking about how we need to tap into our authority, and that that comes from obedience, and that comes from walking out the biblical definition of love. But there are other things that are important in order for us to have that full authority. And when we look at the evil that's going on in the world right now, we look at the evil that Murdaugh carried out on his victims. What is the key thing that has to happen in order for God to be able to really, you know, overcome the sin in a person's life, or to overcome bad choices that they've made, or even just, you know, horrible things that they've done? What has to happen in order for God to be able to turn their heart and for them to be used by God and to be able, again, to step into authority? So that word is repentance. Repentance. And what that means is for us to stop what we're doing and turn around and go away from it. So it's, you know, we're headed down this path. Maybe we're in bad habits. We've done things that we continue to do things that dishonor God or that grieve the Holy Spirit. When we finally realize we're doing that, there's a heart change. There's something that happens inside of us that says, I don't want to hurt you anymore, Lord. I don't want to chase this empty thing anymore, Lord. I don't want to be on the wrong side of you anymore. And I choose you, Lord. And so you turn from that, from those wicked ways. You turn from that bad habit. You turn from those bad decisions. You turn away from it, and you start going in the direction of the Lord. And it's a lifelong process, right? We never arrive. We're always going to do things, say things that are going to grieve the Holy Spirit, because we're human beings. But the beauty of it is God already made provision for that with Jesus on the cross. So grace is not, when I was talking yesterday about grace is not, it took me the longest time to understand grace and repentance, y'all. Grace is not a pass to sin. It's not saying, well, I'm forgiven, so I can just live my life the way I want. When you have grace covers those sins, and it says, hey, I've made provision for that, for your bad decisions, for your human nature, for the decisions you made yesterday, today, and that you're going to make tomorrow. I've already accounted for all of that on the cross. Jesus took care of all of that on the cross. He did that. But again, repentance is where we then have a humbling, and we then have a realization, a revelation, really. God reveals to us, or we open our eyes to the idea that continuing to sin hurts God, and we don't want to hurt him anymore. We choose to follow him to the best of our ability. And the beauty of that too is that the Holy Spirit in us gives us the ability to do it. Like, we're all a work in progress, right? And so he's working all these things out of us. So when I think about the clarity around the idea of, you know, Saul and Matthew, the people that were the worst people out there in the eyes of everyone that encountered them, how they could have that humbling and that true change of heart and turn and then be used by God so mightily, it gives me hope. And today, when I was looking at the trial footage, actually it was live, I was watching it live, and I saw something in the judge that really stood out to me. He was really grieved by having to hand down this sentence to Murdaugh. And it was his apparent agony over that really struck me. When he was saying, you know, he couldn't think of anything, when he was still a lawyer before he became a judge, how he was saying he couldn't think of anything more joyful than getting a good outcome for his clients and being able to give them some kind of, you know, redemption for what they had endured, maybe pain they had been in or financial, you know, tragedies that they had endured. And he brings them a good outcome, and how that would give him a good feeling. And he was talking to Murdaugh, and he said, I'm sure you felt that in your career until you decided that your own joy or your own enrichment was more important than theirs. So at some point, it seems like, you know, the Murdaugh family had a good name and it had, you know, a good standing in the community to the point where this judge revered that family name, and that it really hurt him to see this kind of bad apple, if you will, this Alex Murdaugh, really ruin that family name and ruin that reverence and respect that this judge seemed to have for them. I don't know that this judge had it. It just is what kind of showed through to me today when I was watching it. So redemption, you know, can Murdaugh, you know, be redeemed? You know, could Saul, who was hunting Christians, could he be redeemed? Could Matthew, a tax collector, be redeemed? Of course they can, with Jesus's help. I don't know that Murdaugh can or will be. I mean, I know he can be, but I don't know if he will be, because he's got to have that humbling and that turning from his wicked ways and a very sober decision to follow the Lord. And there have been many, many people that have found the Lord in prison. So I hope that for him. It's not so much about him. It's just the redemptive quality of God in all of our lives. And so that's going to lead me into our tea time today, because I think a lot of us are not showing up in our full authority. Like, we're praying these prayers and we wonder why evil is winning. We wonder why our prayers aren't being answered, why it seems like, you know, even in our own lives that we're not seeing victory. I want to get into that, because I have some things God's been showing me around that. I have some suspicions around it. So let's just explore it a little bit. Just stick with me and let's see where the conversation goes. So God said in this world that evil abounds, right? We know that this is a fallen world. People have a sin nature. That until Jesus comes back for us, comes back to redeem his church, that this is the devil's playground. We know that. He's very rampant. Just like there are angel armies for good, you know, God's army, there are also demonic armies. There are, God says in Ephesians, we don't war against flesh and blood, but against principalities and powers and supernatural forces. So there's good, this good and the evil that's really playing out in our world now. Even, I mean, things have been a lot more evil in the past. I mean, if you look back over history, what human beings are capable of carrying out, the atrocities they are capable of toward another human being, I can't even speak about. I've seen things that, oh my gosh, make this, like what we're going through, look like child's play. But in our generation, because we haven't been exposed to a lot of that, what we see playing out is very hurtful and very, it's very sobering for us. It's very upsetting and horrific to us. Believe me, it can get a lot worse. But what's playing out is bad enough, right? It's very bad. And the reason why a lot of us are not getting our prayers answered, or why we're not pushing this evil back, is what I was talking about yesterday. We're not stepping into our authority because, A, we don't know how. And our prayers aren't working because we haven't been able to fully activate that authority yet. So I was saying yesterday that we've got to have obedience. We've got to be in obedience. We can't be playing and having one foot in the world and one foot in the Bible and thinking that we can have full authority. If we're not in obedience to the best of our ability, meaning that we are doing our best to follow the Lord, we are keeping his commandments. God said, if you love me, you will obey me. Keeping his commandments, denying the temptations that come along, you know, cleaning up our own house, right? Cleaning up our own mouths, all that, which I'm still working on. Believe it. I came out of the music industry and things still slip out sometimes. It's like, oh my gosh, I didn't know that was still in there. So it's just a constant work in progress, right? So obedience, we have to be in obedience. We can't be doing things we know full well we wouldn't be doing if Jesus was sitting right beside us. So that's first. We've got the things that we are capable of cleaning up, we need to clean up. But then second, I talked about, we have to be walking out the biblical definition of love. And that love is not just affirming everybody and going along to get along. That is not love. God is very clear about what love is in the Bible. And I read that yesterday. So go back and look at that if you can. But it's in Colossians, I believe, is the book where you can find it, his definition of love. But he talks about You know, love is not a feeling, it is an action. So we can love someone even if we don't like them. We can love someone even if we're not happy with them. So that's, those are two very key things. But then today, talking about repentance and redemption, these are things, and the, this is where grace comes in. This is where we have to, it has to click with us. The difference between grace being seen as a pass versus grace being seen as something that humbles us and makes us want to obey God, want to turn away from our wicked ways. God said, if my people will turn from their wicked ways and turn back to me, he will heal our land. He will redeem us. He will heal our land. But a lot of us are wondering, why isn't God showing up? Well, we're not doing our part. We're not obeying him. We're not walking out the biblical definition of love, and we're not repenting. So these are supernatural laws, right? We've got to do this as a culture. I know some of you are doing it, but I think a lot of us are not doing it. I think a lot of us are not walking in our full authority because we don't feel like we are worthy of redemption. If you're like me, maybe a lot of you are like me, where you've made a lot of mistakes in your life. I literally wrote a book. I wrote a book a couple of years ago called Lady Up and Don't Quit. I put it out just ahead of my 2020 campaign for State House of Representatives. The main reason why I did it is because I wanted the opportunity to tell my story. I didn't want my opponent to spin the story. And God had been working on me about this for a couple of years before I put it out. And I want to tell you, I was shaking in my boots to put that out, because who wants their life in the public eye, right? How many of us want our life up on a movie screen for anybody that we know to be able to see it? For years and years and years, I didn't tell my story because I was ashamed of my story. I was ashamed of the bad decisions I had made. I thought, what would people think? I was very embarrassed. I was very overcome with grief in so many areas because my story led me into some very, very painful valleys. But here's what God's been showing me, that's where we learn the heart of God, is in our valleys. When we can't depend on ourselves, when our own choices or our own bad turns in life have led us into valleys that we can't walk alone, that's where we learn the heart of God. That's where we really feel him. That's where we come to know him. And in our failures, that's where that deepening of wisdom and understanding come from. They really don't come out of our victories and our successes. They come out of those dark moments, out of those frightening and painful and excruciating moments. That's where wisdom really comes from, is from experience. You can have all the knowledge in the world. You can read all the books you want. And I'm a fan of reading. I read a lot of books. I love to learn. But walking it out and living it with God is a whole other animal. And those valleys where I actually learned his heart, and where he showed me grace, and he showed me that my sins are as far as the east is from the west, that redemptive work that Jesus did on the cross washed them away. It took me so long to get my head around that. Now I lead with my story. Now I tell my story, not because I'm proud of it, but because I'm so proud of what God has done in spite of it in my life. And this is the redemptive power of God that I'm talking about. And this is where I think a lot of us get stuck. It's like our darkest moments or our biggest failures become our testimony. They become our best advocacy or our best testimonial for our faith. And there's so many things around this that I think it just takes a while to click for us. like, you don't want to, you know, you want to be led by the Holy Spirit. You don't want to overshare. You don't, there's certain places and times that you want to share your story. You don't want to go and, you know, pour it out on anybody and everybody, but there, you kind of drip things out. But the point is you're led by the Holy Spirit on when and how to share it. But you're coming at it now from a place of not embarrassment or not shame or any of those things. You're coming at it from a place of, hey, look what God did. Like, look at all these wrong turns that I made, and look how God straightened them. Look at how my life now compared to my life then has changed. Look at how my heart has changed. Look at how the things that I care about now are different. The ways that I show up in the world are so different. The things that motivate me now are so different. So these are the things I'm talking about that are available to us in conversation. And when you are when you make peace with your past and you're able to share your story in a way that is triumphant because of your walk and your relationship with God, that is so compelling for the people that you encounter. It's also authentic. It's genuine. People can tell when you're manipulating them, or when you're trying to coerce them into something, or when you're trying to force an outcome. So when we talk about walking in authority in this world right now, we talk about really stepping into that full authority. It's really God working through us. It's not authority we have. I can say something and it may have no authority at all, but it's God's word that has the authority. And when we are in obedience to Him, and when we are walking out our proper love walk toward people, we genuinely love people, and then we are repentant, meaning that we're no longer hypocrites and we've turned away from wicked things and we've turned toward Him, and we are in alignment as a result of that now with Him. We know we're under grace, meaning we don't have to feel shame and all of that. I'm seeing that that's when the authority kicks in. That's when our prayers have like superpowers. That's where I see actual needles moving and actual change happening. Just even in my own life, I see God showing up every day in all kinds of different ways. We don't have to go chase people. We don't have to chase outcomes. We don't have to force things. It's like mountains just move when you're in that kind of alignment with Him. And that's what it's going to take, I believe, in our country, for us to start to turn the train away from, like, I feel like we've got a train that's just kind of speeding down the track right now toward this eventual brick wall. And you don't turn a train quickly, right? You got to turn it slowly. But I think this is how we're going to turn it, is by God's people understanding these things we're talking about today and returning to Him and letting His power work through us. But there are spiritual laws. Like, we can't, our prayers without the obedience, the love, and the repentance and the grace don't hold any power. But with those things in place, we obey Him. We love people and love Him with all of our hearts. We are turning away from the things that we know we shouldn't be doing, and we're walking toward Him, and we understand grace. We understand that we don't have all shame and chains and all that are gone. When that clicks, when you finally understand whose you are, then our prayers take on a whole new power. And the church then, it gives us the courage to stand up, because we feel that supernatural power in our lives. We can be led then by the Holy Spirit when we're in a situation, when we're among friends, or we're sitting at our dinner table with our kids, or whatever it is. We are yielded to God, meaning that we give up what we want to say and we let Him speak through us. Then there's power in those words that come through us, because they're His words. We're just vessels, and we're like rivers, and He's just flowing through us at that point. And His word and His grace and His promptings and leadings are where the power's at. And that's what's going to turn our country around. So I highly, highly recommend that you get into some prayer time with the Lord and ask him, say, Lord, just show me what are the areas of my life? What are the nooks and crannies of my life that I haven't yielded to you yet? Where am I still doing things that I shouldn't be doing? What are the things that I may be blind to that I don't realize are keeping me from the full power of your work through my prayers? What you ask him, get into that prayer time, that quiet time with him. I love to do it on nature walks, but just ask him to show you. Turn over the rocks in my life, Lord. Turn over the rocks in my heart and show me where I'm missing it. And be cooperative. Just tell him, say, I am willing. I am willing to completely surrender to you and yield to you. And Lord, I understand that this culture that we're in we're in a spiritual battle between good and evil. And the only way that I can really make a difference in my corner of the world and push this back in my corner is for you to have full power in my life. And I am not afraid of my story anymore. Lord, show me how I can use it. Show me how you can use it to bless people so that I can have authentic conversations and I can show humility and I can show a human side of me and not trying to come across. I know we women, we love to come across like we've got it all together and we kind of hide and, you know, sweep under the rug these things we don't want anybody to see. Again, don't overshare with everybody. I'm not saying that, but ask the Lord to show you how your failures, your missteps, your outright blunders, even the things that you did that you just know darn well were wrong. Ask God to show you how those things now can be redeemed for his good in your life. That's where the power is. I really, really believe it. All right, let's get to our parting prayer. Father God, thank you so much for your patience with us, Lord, and for your heart to want to redeem us, Lord, not only us personally, but as a country, the United States of America, Lord, needs to be redeemed. Lord, we are a Christian nation. We were founded on your principles, Lord, and we, so many of us, want a return to those values and to that day and time, Lord, when you were honored and revered in our country. All of your ways work, Lord. Your commandments, your laws of our land, your laws for our hearts, Lord, they work. And we know that, and we want a return to that in our country. So it has to start with us, Lord. Help us to return to you in every way so that then we can overflow into other people's lives and inspire them to want to return to you, Lord. And one heart at a time, one conversation at a time, Lord, at scale, this is how we can turn our country back to you, Lord, so that you can heal our land. We thank you. We trust you, Lord. We love you with all of our heart. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, ladies, so proud of you. Thanks for being here with me. We're doing this together. Please don't think I've arrived because I haven't. I'm still a work in progress too. And if you've got comments on this or you want to share with me how God's redeeming your life or the ways that he's using you now, I'd love to hear those stories. So reach out to me here in the comments or go on the website and fill out the form, whatever, just email me, but let me know how you're doing out there. I'd really love to hear it. And as we go through this together, let's remind ourselves, lady up. See you tomorrow. Lady up around this house. Lady up around this house.